Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I am your host, Nye McGee, aka Nye Hollywood. Welcome back, ladies and gents, guys and dolls. As you know, I'm an entertainment reporter by day and screenwriter by night, hustling my way through Hollywood until I land the big score. And what is the big score? My name and the bright lights on the big screen, of course. You know what? If you have been listening to us since we started the Hollywood Hustle Show, what, last month? Then, you know, we took a week off, and by we, I'm referring to my wonderful co-host, Redbeard, who is on the line with us this afternoon. Redbeard, are you there, darling?
Yes, 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 I am here. What's cracking? Hollywood Hustle. What's good? This your boy, Redbeard. We are back, and it feels good to be back on air. It was just a little small vacation. Well needed. Now we back, and we're getting ready to start things off the right way. What's good?
Yeah, you know, we were hustling last week. Red Bear's hustling, doing his thing. Then I had to go out of town for work, and last week I had to, you know, I did my Oprah interview. I had to transcribe the Oprah interview, guys, and all these other interviews I did. Last week was so busy, so I had to take the week off and try to travel and get my crap together. Now, listen, if you're listening to the show today at work or around kitties, you know, we are an adult-themed show, although we try to keep it clean. But the point is, the moral to the story today is, while we try to keep it cute, we encourage you not to put us on mute because we will drop some adult language from time to time. So beware of that. This show is not safe for work, okay? Again, we do keep it clean, but we might drop, you know, the F-bomb here and there. We are Chicago folks, and we talk fast, and we're passionate, and sometimes we go there. Right, Redbeard?
We go there, trust me. This is not for the squeamish, and it's not for the faint. So just be prepared.
My Hollywood Hustle Show is here to help content creators and their stars take their craft to the next level. Now, I try to have a guest on the show every Wednesday, although, again, with me working last week, that's the bird in the background. Molly is making an appearance on the show, if you can hear her squeaking in the background. No guest last week, as you know, of course. And today we don't have a guest. Today I'm going to talk about how I've kind of overcome my social anxiety, fears, and shyness in order to, you know, live the dream out here in Hollywood. Now, the reason why I decided to make this the topic of the show today is because I often get approached, whether it be at events or speaking engagements or just an email from aspiring journalists. Generally, these journalists are high school and college students, you know. They often hit me up to ask, how do you do it? Or my favorite is, how do you get over being shy, right? You know, these individuals follow me on social media. They're impressed with my resume. Of course, I come across maybe quite confident and like I know what I'm doing. And for the most part, I am. But it has been a struggle. I am shy at times, and I'm hella socially awkward. in certain environments and certain social scenes. And it seems people feel my pain. So that's why they want to know, how do you do it, Nine Hollywood? How do you get over being shy? So that's kind of the focus of the show today. I want to kind of share with you guys some of my most embarrassing celebrity moments occurred because I was plagued with fear and that feeling of being that awkward black girl, you know? So as the show description describes, you know, the show description clearly points out, today I'm going to share a few hilarious stories about the times I embarrassed myself while in the presence of some of my favorite celebrities. And of course, these were moments where I was working, you know, interviewing these celebrities one-on-one time, getting coverage for the various outlets I worked for. And each of these embarrassing, cringing moments only helped me to get over myself, get over my insecurities and social anxieties. So I'm going to share these tales with you guys. Trust me, there is some insight to gain from my madness. And coming up in the second half of the hour, because we have an extended show today, because we weren't with you guys last week, Redbeard is going to be dropping another Indy 15. Tell us a little bit about the guests you got joining us this next hour, at the top in the half hour. Who's joining us on the Indy 15 today, Redbeard?
We got my homie Dot Hawk stopping by today to drop a hot. Well, I think he's going to drop two singles today. And we're going to chop it up with him for the Indy 15 Spotlight segment. It's going to be dope. Make sure y'all tune in for that.
Friday's show, of course, is the Hollywood Tinseltown, all about spilling the tea. What my industry colleagues are whispering behind the scenes regarding the latest headlines. What I generally do is scour the internet, scour some of my favorite websites, even some blind item sites, and even some of the stories that I cover. And then I contact my colleagues on the low and find out, hey, what's really being said behind the scenes? Because a lot of my colleagues and friends and industry players, when I say they're in the know, they're in the know. They know the guy that knows the guy who can get you the tea on what's really going on. So I try to drop that information on Friday. Baby Kim Jong-un said, to hell with America's white privilege. They killed that white boy Otto, didn't they? Otto, what's his name? Y'all know who I'm talking about, Otto Wessinger. May he rest in peace. Listen, I'm sad that the boy, you know, died. You know what I'm saying? Otto, let's just call him Otto. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Otto. Google it. Poor white boy went to, now let me not call him a poor white boy, because first of all, I need somebody to call in and tell me, who the hell is planning a trip, a college trip, a high school trip, because he's in college, right? A college field trip to North Korea. What is there to do in North Korea but get your ass in trouble and get your ass arrested? There's no internet. Right. There's no television other than the political propaganda. What is there to learn in North Korea that you cannot open up your book here, although even our history books are political propaganda and history propaganda? Still, who's taking their ass to North Korea? What kind of North Korean cultural enlightenment do you need so badly that you need to take your ass over there? And then you take your arrogant ass over there and try to steal from the culture. Did nobody tell the idiots on this field trip how Kim Jong-un, what do they call him, Baby Huey, how he gets down? Did nobody tell these idiots on this field trip how to behave? Did nobody tell the idiots, offer some tips and pointers on how to behave in this foreign country, not to take your American white privileged ass over there and turn up and show out? Now, one of my friends tells me that Otto, he was dared. Someone in his church group, I don't know how much truth there is behind this, I don't care to Google it. So allegedly, someone in his church group, of course, religion is always behind nonsense and bullshit. Someone in Otto's spiritual religious group, church, allegedly, reportedly told him, dared him to steal this propaganda poster, or steal anything, basically, from the Korean culture, bring it back to America, and if you succeed, we will buy you a car. Is this true? Was Otto that fucking stupid, right, that he just, you know, bypassed or just put logic and reason on hold and said, yeah, I'm going to steal from Kim Jong-un. Forgive me for mispronouncing his name. I mean, listen, I'm a black American. It's not often that we got to say the name Kim Jong-un. So let's just say Baby Huey. or Kim. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? It feels like a tongue twister, Kim Jong-un. Nonetheless, Kim Jong-un was like, to hell with your white privilege, to hell with white supremacy in America, fuck your couch, die. And we're going to send his body back to America and claim that he was in a coma a year ago. They cared so much about his well-being that allegedly they gave him a sleeping pill so that he can sleep well at night under such harsh conditions. They were so concerned about young Otto that they gave him a sleeping pill so he could get a good night's rest. That's what's being reported. Of course, nobody believes that. In taking the sleeping pill, he contacted botulism. God damn, who the hell catches botulism? Isn't that some, like, Dark Ages shit? Botulism. Don't rats carry that like the bubonic plague? Well, young Otto, I hope there's a lesson learned here. Now, of course, Trump quickly issued a statement about Otto's death. He's very sorrowful that the young white male died as a political prisoner. Of course, Philandro, the black male that was murdered by the cops, the president has offered no words of condolences, no sympathy, has not even addressed the issue, even though Philandro's family, American family, have called upon his president to say something, called upon their president to say something. Of course, when I pointed this out on social media, one person in particular, white male, of course, is generally a conservative white male who has a problem with white people showing empathy towards blacks. And he quickly reminded me that President Trump is not obligated to speak about black people dying. But of course, a white male dying at the hands of North Korea, the president is obligated to step up and say something. How do you feel about this, people? Or any headline this week, call us up, 646-668-8342 is our calling number. 646-668-8342. We can talk about any topic that you want to hit on this week. Of course, like I said, the show today, I want to explore kind of the types of social anxieties that I've overcome and my embarrassing celebrity encounters, how they have helped me overcome, right? But before we do that, we got to take a quick break. Just a quick break, folks. I just remembered something. I've got something baking in the oven. Yes, I'm hosting this show from home, and I don't want my damn house to burn down. So give me 1 second. Red Bear, do you want to entertain the folks, or should I take a quick song break and we come right back and get right into it?
Redbeard is always here to entertain the folks. But go ahead and drop a little music for him. Go ahead and drop a little music for him, man. Let them. They might need to go get them a cold beverage or some hot pop butter popcorn for the show. So go ahead and drop a drink. Give them a little break.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Astronaut Guy Bluford is the first African-American in space. Bluford and his crewmates launched in the shuttle Challenger overnight.
Live safe again.
All right, we're back really quick. I just had to run, check that out. I'm back, Hollywood Hustle Show. Anything goes on this show. This is not a professional radio show. So at any minute, I might have to hop off and go put out a fire. You know what I'm saying? Check up on some things. But thanks for being with me. Hollywood Hustle Show, I'm your host, Nye Hollywood. Listen, social anxiety often stems from a belief that you are not enough in some way. Okay, and I have, you know, listen, I'm no longer in my 20s. But when I graduated college and moved to Los Angeles, I had really thin skin, so to speak. I was very sensitive. I wore my emotions on my sleeve, and I still do to some degree. But my skin is thicker now, right? But I've had to develop thick skin through overcoming my fears, okay, through challenging myself, through challenging myself by stepping outside my comfort zone and engaging in activities, engaging in conversations, and entertaining people that I normally would not allow into my space, you know. The types of social anxieties I have experienced, for instance, the main thing when I moved to L.A. was such a culture shock for me, you know. I'm average black girl from the Midwest. You know, I moved to L.A. right after college, right after graduating film school, and this land of beautiful chiseled bodies, you know, and I'm built like a, you know, size 12 Midwest girl, you know what I'm saying? And, well, actually, no, back then I probably was like a 9, right? But I still didn't feel good enough. I often felt like I cannot be in public because I am not perfect. And, of course, nobody is perfect. And I had to realize that such logic was only making me a victim of being in my own way, right? Such self-perception is so distorted, and it perpetuates this problem of isolation. So for so many years, right, when I wasn't working or working events or doing social activities with my close friends, you know, that whole my vibe attracts my tribe kind of thing, if it wasn't my vibe, I was isolating myself because I did not feel I was good enough. And I often wondered, how is this going to play in terms of me wanting to be in the entertainment field, you know? You can't be an entertainment reporter. You can't be a writer. You can't be a director. You can't be a savvy player in the entertainment business if you are plagued with fears and anxieties. Redbeard, do you agree?
Hey, I totally agree. I'm sitting here, as you sit here talk about this, I'm sitting here thinking about how I had a fear of the Harold Washington Culture Center stage. Like, performing on that stage was massive because people weren't standing up to watch you perform. They were actually sitting down, looking up at the stage to watch you perform. So that kind of, like, intensified the fear level because you had to perform for these people while they're sitting here with watching you. It's all eyes on you, attention all on you, so you had to go out and perform. That fear factor, I'm telling you, that fear factor will kick in, and you'll get out there and tense up, but now I've come to the realization, like, man, this is holding me back. I cannot sit here and let this fear stop me from getting to the next level of what I'm trying to accomplish, and it can. And some people have actually shut their careers down because of the fear factor. And people, the people that's out there listening, fear is a stronghold, okay? We weren't born with fear. It's something that we develop over time. Do not allow fear to stop you from getting to the next level in your dreams, man. Trust me.
One of the things that fuels people's fears is the sense of, you know, others will notice our imperfections, you know, because we are so tuned into our imperfections, and these imperfections, you know, aid in whatever anxieties we're plagued with, you know. And of course, people may notice them, but most people are so much more interested in their own issues, right? And their own projections, that they're far more interested in, you know, they're far more interested in themselves than to notice you. I've come to notice that. you know, especially as I'm navigating Hollywood, as I've been navigating Hollywood, I find that the most beautiful girl in the room is the most insecure girl in the room when you start talking to her, right?
Of course.
The richest guy in the room is the most insecure guy in the room for various reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to realize that it's not people who are always looking at my imperfections. It is me. You know, it's me. It's you. So, again, slowly stepping out of my comfort zone allowed me to ease up on myself. Now, what are some of the ways, some of the things that I did to ease up out of my comfort zone? Well, initiating conversation, because I'm not a social butterfly. Again, I'm all about my vibe. Your vibe attracts your tribe. If you're in my circle, if you're my crew, I'm cool with you, right? I will be honest. Of course, I am down to meeting new friends who are positive people, enlightening people, progressive people. But for the most part, I'm at the age now where I'm all about no new friends, you know, unless you are enhancing my life in some way and vice versa, no new friends, right? But I had to, in order to step outside of my comfort zone in social settings, go up to people who were more important than me, who had more than me, who could certainly enhance my life with all the things that are great in their life. I had to learn how to break the ice. And while that may seem like an easy task for many, for a person who's shy, like me, who grew up a shy girl in Chicago, a shy, shy girl, right? A shy, shy town girl. It's not easy, right? And it is easier said than done. I realize this. Now, one of the things that helped me, if you're one of the people out there who cannot just go up to strangers and start a conversation, even if it's one of those career-saving or career-opportunity conversations, I always have a wingman. And my wingman is always someone who is a social butterfly. My wingman is always someone who is like, oh, you want to speak to that person? Oh, you know who that person is? Nah, you need to meet that person. Here, let me make the introduction. That has helped me. I take a wingman with me to events when I can because it helps with my social nervousness. And let me tell you something. I've needed a wingman in these cases where I've embarrassed myself. Let me give you a perfect example. In trying to overcome my fears, I'm oftentimes overzealous. And in being overzealous, I don't think clearly. One time last year I was working the Emmys because I'm a freelance writer for Emmys, you know, the daytime Emmys, primetime Emmys, Emmys.com. Every year the Emmys has a diversity awards event and everybody who's anybody in Hollywood comes out, right? And, of course, I get invited. Lou Gossett Jr. was there. Now, I interviewed Lou Gossett Jr. about, well, I attempted to. That's a whole nother story. Remind me to tell you guys about the time that the studio flew me across country to interview Lou Gossett Jr. This is about 2 years ago. To interview Lou Gossett Jr., okay, we get on the set. I'm ready to interview him, only to have his dentures fall out of his mouth. That's right, his dentures fell out of his mouth. So then the crew had to take him to the dentist for an emergency treatment, and the interview was wrapped. They put me back on a plane and flew me back to L.A., right? So anyway, last year, there's Lou Gossett Jr. at the Emmy's diversity event. And in my overzealous nature to go up to and speak to this legend, I called him Lou Diamond Phillips. Now, why did I call him Lou Diamond
God.
Phillips? Right? Why
did
I call him Lou Diamond Phillips? I'm going
to
get there. I called this man Lou Diamond Phillips primarily because right before I went up to Lou Gossett to introduce myself and talk to him, I just wrapped a conversation with Lou Diamond Phillips. Now, I've ran into Lou Diamond Phillips at events in L.A. for the past 20 years. He doesn't remember me from Adam. The man sees tons of people. He can't remember every journalist that says, hey, Lou, I love you. But I'm talking to Lou Diamond Phillips. We chop it up. We wrap it up. Then I see Lou Gossett standing behind him. I go up to him with Lou Gossett in my mind, and I'm like, hey, Lou Diamond Phillips. And I don't even – I'm so overzealous because I'm trying to push my nerves to the side. And in doing that, I don't think clearly, okay? I call this man the name of another actor who's not even in his league, and I don't catch it. And what does Mr. Lou Gossett Jr. say to me as I continue to talk to him and go on and on about how great he is and this, that, and the other, and the coverage I've done for him and this, that, and the other? He says, yeah, you realize you just called me Lou Diamond Phillips, right?
My security.
Okay. Actually, it's funny you should say that because later on in the evening, after I got done hitting on one of the stars from Luke Cage, after I pretty much stalked Niecy Nash and then cursed out a security guard who kept giving me the runaround, by the end of the night, another security guard came up to me and said, oh, yeah, you're the troublemaker.
Oh,
anyway,
wow. So the word had already got around town that you were in there calling people by the wrong name.
Right, being overzealous, not thinking clearly. So the moral to that tale, people, is learn from me. When you're in these social environments, these settings, and you're feeling a little overwhelmed, and you're working, like me, a journalist, I have to work these events. And there's so many celebrities there, and you can't get to everyone, but you know this person's got a show coming out, that person's got a blockbuster hit coming out this summer, this person just got fired from another show. You want to hit up everybody so you can get coverage. Take a moment, breathe. Rome wasn't built in a day, I often have to remind myself. You can't have everyone nigh. There are going to be some winners. There are going to be some losers. So I've had to learn to calm down because let me tell you what I've done. In trying to reverse the shyness, I've become very aggressive, too, in my approach, which is good and which is bad, okay? When I'm at events and if I've only been slated to, I don't know, work this part of the room or I only have access to this floor or I've only been granted an interview with this and that person, okay, and that's fine and I'm grateful. But if I see that there's someone else, another player, another executive, another actor that I've been dying to get the scoop from, my aggressive ass is going to find a way to do it. And I always get my scoop. When I wanted Robert De Niro earlier this year, I reached out to his people. They didn't grant me an interview with Robert De Niro. But when I saw him standing there in the lobby at the Winter TCA right before his panel discussion, I took an opportunity to talk to the man. You know what I'm saying? I got my interview, right? And I got my interview, right? Same deal happens with Ryan Eggold. Ryan Eggold is the hottie from The Blacklist and The Blacklist Redemption. I love Ryan Eggold. He's on my list of top 10 hot white guys in Hollywood, right? He's probably in the top 5. So I managed to talk to Ryan Eggold one-on-one last year at the Beverly Hills Hotel during an event. The network didn't grant me an interview with him, but the network invited me to an after party, and there's Ryan Eggold working the room. He's surrounded by journalists. He's surrounded by, you know, guests of journalists who are fans, and they all want to talk about, oh, I love you. I'm a fan. And that's great. That's great. You know, everybody's in awe of Ryan, and I get it. But the journalist in me is like, move the fuck out of the way so I can get my scoop, right? So the aggressive journalist in me is like, did y'all see that clip a few weeks ago or about a month ago when Trump was out of town, right, out of the country, and he pushed the dignitary to the side so he could get up front for his photo op? I live for that moment. That moment sums up my entire life as a journalist. Trump pushing the foreign dignitaries out of the way so he could get so he can shine, right? Let me be great. That's what I had to do in my Ryan Eggold moment. My aggressiveness. And I got my freaking scoop. Now, let me round it up here because we're going to pick this up back in about 15, 20 minutes because Redbeard is about to take over with the Hollywood Hustle. Fast forward about a year later, we're at the same event. The Television Critics Association happens twice a year. I go in the winter. I go in the summer. This is when the networks invite over 200 prominent journalists to cover all things cable and TV related. You talk to all the stars. You get advanced viewing to the shows. HBO has the best gift bag. Shout out to HBO. So fast forward a year later, I'm at the TCA again. And I'm trying to get my Ryan Eggold one-on-one this time. I hear that NBC is having a roundtable discussion with Ryan Eggold. Now, as a black journalist who works for one of the outlets I work for, the primary outlet I work for, is an urban outlet. At Hollywood, as y'all know, they're not giving us no love. You know what I'm saying? They don't like to give us a lot of love unless there's a black talent in the project. You know, they think that some of these white stars are just too good for the urban world. Or on the flip side, they think black people only like Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj, Nene Leakes, you know. They can't fathom that, ooh, we like Daenerys, Strongborn. You know what I'm saying? We're into Game of Thrones. We're into The Blacklist. We watch Breaking Bad. You know, we are entertained by you white folks too, right? So you don't have to shut us out for opportunities to talk to your talent, right? Black girls like Ryan Eggold too. So I hit up NBC. Now the girl is, I'm talking to the PR girl. She pulls me to the side to interview. Who does she have me interview? I think it was the cast from, oh God, what's that show on WGN that they just canceled about the rednecks up in the mountains? I forget. Gosh, it'll come to me. Not Underground. About the Appalachian Mountains, they had the interracial couple on there, who I've interviewed quite a few times. Long story short, the PR gal who was handling that group of talent coordinated an interview with me, with them. In the process, I overheard her say, I also represent Ryan and the Blacklist. Oh, I say, can I get in on the round table? Child, when I tell you, she turned to me and looked at me like I was short. Like, how dare you, black girl, ask to speak to the white talent of NBC? How dare y'all? I think to myself, bitch, so she denied me, right? I sent her emails before she said no. I sent her a follow-up email of all the coverage that I've done for NBC, exclusive coverage of all the talent, white and black, that I've spoken to on the NBC network. She denies me. And I quote, there's no room for you at the table, I'm afraid. I said, oh, okay, bitch, watch what the new Nye does. See, the old shy Nye would have cowered in the corner and just accepted defeat. The aggressive new Nye was like, oh, okay, bitch. So when Ryan Eggold came into the room to do his panel discussion, Nye McGee was like Trump once again and pushed her way to the front to get my motherfucking exclusive. Pardon my language, right? So the moral so far, ladies and gentlemen, if you're learning anything from my madness, and by learning, I'm talking to the aspiring journalists who've asked me for some tips on how I do it, about my hustle in Hollywood. Overzealousness and aggressiveness, they are extremes, but it's the level I had to get to in order to fully bury the shyness and the fear and the social anxiety that I was plagued with that was prohibiting my greatness. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. I'm sitting in my office next to the parakeet, and Molly is about that life. Molly is the name of the parrot. She's turned up. If you hear her cackling in the background, it's only because she's co-signing the tea, darling.
Ooh, shout out to Molly.
Hollywood Hustle Show. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Redbeard is going to take over with Indy 15. Your caller is on the line. We're going to get to now. How are we doing this? Are we playing one of his songs now?
Yeah, go ahead and drop that legendary on him right quick, man. Run that legendary, and then we're going to come right back into the Indy 15 for him.
Okay, Dot Hawkum is his name. And, Dot, I know you're on the line. We're going to play your track Legendary, and then as soon as it ends, you're going to be live on the Hollywood Hustle Show. Be right back, folks.
Watch out. You have to watch out for new legends.
Hell yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? When I came to rap, all I wanted was, number one album, platinum, single, what's up, that's it, that's all I ever
heard. You know, nobody has to make room, you gotta earn everything you get, you know what I mean? Nobody's just gonna stamp you a legend and you're not doing anything that's legendary.
I'm on the mission, so my palms sweaty, I'm a demon but my heart heavy, I'm so legendary. Sleeping on me, so I turn to Freddy. Control the cruise in that new Chevy. Set to go, I'm ready. I'm set for war, like the combat. You call lacking, where your gun at? The nigga run at. I'm on point like a thumbtack. I swear it's niggas I kill just to get a couple niggas back. We leave him wet, then we slide out. Apply the pressure, then he tap out. Just pull the Glock out. He won't beep, it's a stakeout. We smoke weed, better bag ounce. Order like a takeout. I call the shots, bitch, I call the free throws. I'm in the and that Jackson like Tito. Just really need a bit that can take my ego. My money never stops, carry on, continue. My bars fly over they hair like missiles. Make heat every time my finger touch a pencil. These niggas not cool, they just out to get you. The niggas by your side be the ones against you. That's why I stay quiet, there's no other choice. The empty cans make the most noise. The picky bank, bitch, I'm bout coins. My mob deep in the avalanche. My mob deep have a quiet storm. Stay on my shit, got the roll, no tissue. Got the ice on my wrist, chillin' like an igloo. I ain't fuck, I just took it and she gave me mental. I'm a dog, but I ain't tryna kick it jitsu. I see them tease and I bust a big. You spark shit, then we switch, hop up in the rental. You niggas real sweet, like the president. You life hard for everyone, fuck what you been through. Catch what these hoes, cause they all been ran through. I dunked about twice and it be like Van Dude. My niggas stay out with the strap, no sand do. Old point, yeah, they light a nigga up, no can do. I got the Henny, but remember drinking Pinnacle. Now I'm the boss, yeah, I'm giving niggas interviews. You ever try to beat me, you despicable. Just roll up and smoke you up like an invincible. That beef ended way before it started. My bar's special, nigga, and my flow's retarded. I stay on offense, bitch, I'm always ballin'. If I take a L, then I bounce back like Spalding, whoa. They team thirsty, need a water boy. My team hungry, said he eating stack of salad, boy. I'm too loyal, you gotta look out for my fucking boys. We all we got, so if I got it, then you got it, boy.
Hollywood Hustle Show, Nine McGee, a.k.a. Nine Hollywood. We're back. That was Dot Holcomb with Legendary Redbeard. He is on the line, I believe. This is your time to shine. Take over with the Indy 15.
Hollywood Hustle, what's going on, y'all? This your boy Redbeard with the Indy 15 Spotlight segment. 646-668-8342 is the number to call in. Right now, we got my homeboy Dot Holcomb on the line. What's cracking, bro? Do you there?
Yo, yeah. What's up, bro, bro?
What's cracking, my dude? How's everything going?
Good, man. Life's good, man. What about you?
I can't complain, man. We doing this, bro. We, you know, we back on the air. We was off for a little vacation last week. We back. You the first guest back. So, you know, it's feeling good. We feeling real good about today.
Hey, gratitude.
So, check this out. We're going to jump right off into the interview. So, now the name is Dot Holcomb, right? And I peeped that you say it's Dot Holcomb for a reason. What's the reason?
Yeah.
And then tell the listeners out there a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, man. Well, I say it's the Holcomb for a reason. It's basically because, like, every time you hear the Holcomb, you're going to know it's me, like, from the flow to the delivery to the metaphor to the punchlines. Like, you're going to know it's the Holcomb. I sound like nobody else. That's why I say
right.
It's the Holcomb for a reason.
Okay. Okay. Now, as far as the music is concerned, how long you been doing music? What's good with this music, man? Because that Legendary that we just played was dope. How long you been doing
music? Thanks, man. I actually been doing music, like, all my life. When I was younger, I was just writing, like, parodies, you know, and covers to songs, and then I eventually branched off into my own style of music. So it's been a while.
All right. So who you working with as far as you got a new project getting ready to come out. Who you working with? Any features or hot producers on there?
Actually, no. I'm independent right now. I'm just trying to mold myself and better myself before I can bring someone else in the picture. But I have no problem, you know. I have no problem collaborating. I show love for everybody, but it's not
right.
Really. Yeah, I'm not really looking for nobody else to hop on my
track. Hey, and you know what? Sometimes it's better to do it by yourself so that people can know who you are instead of having somebody else, you know, that's already on. With you on that. So, what about who do you want to work with then? So, on like future projects that's coming up, who would you like to work with?
I really like the lyrical standpoint. So, maybe like, you know, Chance the Rapper or man Montana 300 or somebody at like who just crazy lyrical. You know, not really the drill rappers, but more just lyrics. You know.
Okay, all right, but yeah, Montana 300, I rocks with bro hard, he go hard, and you already know how the city do with Chance. Chance gets down. Yeah, that's the homie right there. So, now, I peeped that you went to the Art Institute. What's up with that? What did you study?
Man, that was actually a few years ago. I went there actually for culinary arts, not even paying attention to, like, the engineering, like the music engineering and stuff. I just went there for my hobby, and I just knew my heart wasn't in that, so I just, you know, left it and continued my music.
Culinary arts is what you went for, but ended up finding
yeah.
out, man. Okay, you like to eat the food instead of cooking it. You wanna make the hot music.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Exactly. I like that. Yeah, definitely. I got you. So what you working on right now that you got planning on? So I know the new CD is getting ready to drop. What else you got getting ready to drop for the people?
Man, I actually got two mixtapes coming. It's like one is old school, and it's like I'm gonna call it I'm a '90s kid, and it's just basically me rapping over like old hits, you know, from the '90s that I couldn't really enjoy because I was a shorty. So
okay.
I'm just gonna be rapping over those type of beats.
Okay, all right, bet. So now we got another joint, and I believe it's called Cracking Up, right?
Yeah, Cracking Up. Yeah.
Go ahead and drop that for the people out there listening, man. Introduce that joint for them.
Man, Cracking Up is coming up. It's a hot track, man, from many other hot tracks from our mixtape Legendary. It's, man, you would not be disappointed from listening to this track, I can assure you.
Bet. Go ahead and run that Cracking Up, G-Bar. Let's get into it. Indy 15.
From the bottom, I'm coming up. Catch me out, I'm black and I'm looking up. Now rolling with me, but keep out of yourself. And don't wonder why I keep discussing you. This lift that we're good like a spatula. That's fire, them niggas so I can know. These niggas be faking, these niggas be hating. Just lie to the bank, yeah, I'm cracking up. Started from the bottom, I'm coming up. Catch me out, I'm black and I'm looking up. Now rolling with me, but keep out of yourself. And don't wonder why I keep discussing you. This lift that we're good like a spatula. That's fire, them niggas so I can know. These niggas be faking, these niggas be hating. Just lie to the bank. Yeah, I'm cracking up. No sequel in my life, a movie. Going nuts on the beat, going lonely. Niggas fruity, turning to smoothies. Leaving wet with that heap at jacuzzi. Just smoking no dough, all the sushi. So no, I won't kick in that Bruce Lee. And bitch, I'm on swag. Now this is not that. All my P's are cute, the fuck does it know? Stop coming at me with that nonsense. Cause that fake love would be toxic. I'm stacking big numbers, I'm counting. I'm counting big numbers, I'm rounding. These bars in this flow is astounding. So keep down my clothes like some captions. I punch you niggas, they are. I know you niggas be high, they are. Started from the bottom, I'm coming up. Catch me out, I'm black and I'm looking up. Now rolling with me, but keep out of yourself. But then wonder why I keep subtracting you. This blue thing, we quit like a spatula. That's fire, them niggas start acting up. These niggas be thinking, these niggas be hating. This life to the big and I'm cracking up. Started from the bottom, I'm coming up. Catch me out, I'm black and I'm looking up. Now rolling with me, but keep out of yourself. But then wonder why I keep subtracting you. This blue thing, we quit like a spatula. That's fire, them niggas start acting up. These niggas be faking, these niggas be hating. This life to the big, yeah, I'm cracking up. Talking money, I get money. Getting green, that's a candy. Niggas say he want to heavy. Think it's a game, I'm a
Weezy, no.
See, I call my trigger finger squeezy,
no.
And I leave it that well like a
squeezy, no.
And I found that the niggas not cool. Now you niggas can't even get near me,
no.
Yeah, you niggas pussy, I can smell it. Yeah, I be out here looking so pathetic. Yeah, I'm always ballin', I'm athletic. Shadow Point, JJ Redick. You come for me, I gotta come for ya. I feel no one, I'm not gonna run from ya. The bullet's thicker than the confidant. I use joy pleasure to cover ya. Cause I live for the bottle, I'm coming up. Catch me out, I'm black and I'm lugging up. Now rollin' with me. But keep out of yourself, let them wonder why I keep suppressing you. This lift that we're good like a spatula. That's fire, them niggas start hacking up. These niggas be faking, these niggas be hating. Just not to the bay, I'm cracking up. This is it, license. Smoke loud, siren. Come from that virus. These niggas wet. Warriors, boy, you was broken, you need to get banned. I'm getting your knee, bitch, you told you to stand. The money keep pounding, and your shit don't add. I'm stand up alone, and I got on my fans up, yeah. Always going, we going and creeping, I spread it like jam. Yeah, damn, I'm always going. I'm saying, fuck Gina, won't chocolate weapon. Yeah, damn, they know I'm the man. They say trying to fight, so I'm closing my hand. Yeah, damn, no type of paper. Flooded to take money, no boys that go stand. Yeah, big chain, need a big neck. I'm a chief, making them keys sweat. Walk around with a big tech. Yeah, I put in work, they in recess. Better hustle, man, pick up the pieces. Niggas stay posted, but they got poles. My niggas blow like a snot nose. Tearing up the streets, yeah, they pothole. Started from the bottom, I'm coming up. Catch me out, black and I'm looking up. I'm rolling with me, but you better yourself. But they wonder why I keep them coming up. and flip that work quick like a spatula. Yeah. The five them niggas are acting the hood. These niggas be thinking, these niggas be hating. Just like the play out cracking the head.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Man, that go hard, bro. You snapped on that joint. Hey, you really went crazy. Yeah. The flow bananas. You know what I'm saying? Good flow, good rhythm. Hey, top notch on that one.
Thanks, bro. Gratitude.
Go ahead and kill that, G. Yeah, that joint right there, that goes crazy, bro. So now, as an independent artist, let me ask you this. Do you want to stay independent, or are you looking for a deal with a major?
I wouldn't mind being signed to a major deal, but as of right now, I'm secure being independent.
Okay.
Let me just ask, why are you happy being independent? Do you find it more rewarding than being a label artist? What is it about you being an independent artist that you find more appealing than pursuing a deal with a label?
Well, it's not really that I find it appealing. It's just I just been independent for so long that I don't know how a record label would really like mold me into the artist that I want to be. I'm pretty sure that they're going to turn me into the artist that they want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And that's exactly what they will do. All your creative flow that you have, they will control it. If they don't like it, they're not going to drop it.
Right.
Music wise, who are some of your influences? Who influenced you? Like, who do you listen to that you say you can compare yourself to?
Man, I grew up listening to Wayne, like 50 Cent, and the Young Money, the whole Young Money, well, not really the whole Young Money, more so the big three, like Wayne, Drake, and Nicki. Like, man, they heavily influenced me, man.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Because I can hear the metaphors in your lyrics. And I can see how you would say Wayne, Nicki, and I can see the similarities. Now, as far as like where people can check out your music and your social media links, do you go ahead and drop those for people?
Oh, all right, man. Facebook is allhill.holcomb, and SoundCloud is .holcomb. I'm on Twitter as well as .holcomb. Just everything .holcomb. If you're looking for .holcomb, just put in .holcomb. You're a fan.
Okay, cool. Any shout outs you want to drop before we get up out of here?
Yeah, let me just shout out my gang, man. Let me shout out my cousin Mika. You know, you might.
Oh, man,
be
shout
my
out
manager.
To Tamika, man. I can't forget about shout out to Tamika because she so put me on you, bro. Good looking.
Yeah, man. You might be my manager in the future, man.
Yeah, right, exactly, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, and I just shout out, you know, my best friends, man. Gang.
Cool. Well, now I know you're busy, man. You got things to do, so I ain't going to hold you up too much longer. I appreciate you for calling into the Indie 15 on the Hollywood Hustle Show, dropping those new joints. And again, people out there listening, that's Dot Holcomb. Check them out all over social media, music out there for you to get tuned into. And once again, bro, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Any day, bro. As soon as you get some more material, hit me so we can have you back. The Indie 15, if you got people out there that want to submit, the email is theindie15@gmail.com. Make sure you submit your music, clean music. Today we went on ahead and ran that explicit joint, but usually we want profanity-free. So, again, indie15@gmail.com. Get in tune with the movement, the Hollywood Hustle Show. Yep.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I'll continue to share my embarrassing Hollywood moments that helped me to kind of grow some thick skin in this business, because you definitely need it.
taking a picture of you. Taking a picture of, taking a picture of me. Taking a picture.
Show, we're back. Nye McGee, aka Nye Hollywood, Redbeard. Tell the people again what they need to do if they want to get in on Indy 15.
The Indy 15 at gmail.com. Go ahead and submit music. It doesn't matter what your hustle is in the industry. Submit it to the Indy 15 at gmail.com email, and you will receive your spotlight interview date and time to call in so we can get you on this platform to promote and talk about what it is you got going on. Get at me, people. This is your boy, Redbeard. Now, check this out, though. I wanted to talk about what you were talking about earlier with the fear thing and the whole no friends thing, no new friends. Now, that term was started, I guess most people would say, by Drake with his song No New Friends, right? But in order to grow, and I know you did say you're going to have to come out of that shell and talk to people. That's like the key to growing. Your network is equivalent to your net worth, okay? So whatever your net worth is right now is probably because you're not out socializing with new people. And the thing is, when you have a big dream, a big dream like what we have, you want to surround yourselves with people who are actually doing what you want to do and actually have more than you. Because, and this is not saying anything bad about the people who don't have more than you, but at what point are you going to realize they can't really do shit for you other than keep you in the same position that you're in now? You got to grow mentally, and you can really, you got to grow by example. You got to get around the people. You got to get in the environment. Constantly stay in the environment. You can't be stagnant, people. Don't be being stagnant will also cause a lot of fear.
What is that? Closed mouth fed if you speak up, right?
I tell somebody that every day. Closed mouths do not get fed. You gotta go out. That aggressive nature that you said you possess, you have to have that now. They don't want passive anymore. You gotta be aggressive.
Now, let me give you guys another example. Now, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. Like, I'm obsessed with Doctor Who, okay? I don't know what it is about this world Doctor Who that the British people have created, but I love it. I love all the reincarnations of Doctor. And you know what, guys? We're having some technical issues. I noticed when we took the break. And that comes with me hosting over the digital line. So just bear with me. I know I might be chopping up a little bit, and my apologies. But I can't do anything about that now unless I completely end the show. So if there are parts of this that you miss, you might have to listen to the rebroadcast and, you know, pick it up, right? Okay, so go back here. I'm obsessed with Who. I'm a Whovian to the core. I look forward to this summer, maybe next year, when I can cosplay as a Doctor Who character. I want to be River Song or Martha Jones. Now they got a new black girl on there, Bill. I can dress Bill. Thank you, Sid. You did one tonight. And the Russell T. Davies years, thank you for introducing some black girls into the Doctor Who world, so we black girls who love fantasy can role to, right? So here's my embarrassing moment. If you watched Who, there's a antagonist called the Master. Now, in the revival of Doctor Who, you know, the series was revived in 2005. The actor in the revival series, the actor who plays the Master is John Sim. For some strange reason, I get John Sim mixed up with Simon Pegg, okay? Now, if y'all don't know who those two men are, just do a Google search, and maybe you'll understand a little bit why I get the two of them confused sometimes. Even though if I'm watching Simon Pegg, I know I'm watching Simon Pegg. And when I'm watching John Sim, I know I'm watching John Sim. However, about a year ago when I had to interview the cast in person for Star Trek, what was that Star Trek movie that came out? Star Trek Beyond, I believe. So I had to interview the cast and the director for Star Trek Beyond. I talked to everyone, including Chris Pine's fine ass. Joyce Saldana, very beautiful. And afterwards, I didn't get one-on-one with Simon Pegg, but I decided to be, you know, I decided after my interview round to, and after the press conference, to, I decided that not initiate aggressive mode. And again, when I'm overzealous and aggressive, I don't think clearly, okay? So there I am in front of Simon Pegg. And I had already said it, got in my mind. Now, listen to how idiotic I am, right? So I'm sitting there during the press conference, looking at everyone on the panel, from the writers to the director to the stars. And mind you, before the press conference, before the press folks were gathered into the small room to listen to the Star Trek creatives talk about the film, I had my one-on-ones with the talent. So I had already had my one-on-one with Chris and everybody, right? But not John. Excuse me, not Simon. So I'm sitting there front row at the press conference, looking at Simon Pegg, knowing that he's Simon Pegg, but in my overzealous mind, I'm thinking, I can't wait till this is over so I can go up to him and tell him how much I love him as the Master. He's not the fucking Master, people. He's never been a part of the Doctor world. But there's my dumpy doo doo up to Simon Pegg, and I'm like, hey, all guy, big smile, greets me the same way. And then I'm like, yeah, I really love you as Master on Doctor Who. And he just looks like the idiot that I am and plays it off. And he's like, okay, thanks. And right at that moment, the expression on his face exactly hit, oh, you idiot. He's not the Master. You completely embarrass yourself again. Holds head in shame, walks away. No doubt. He remembers, who was that idiot black girl that thought I was part of Doctor Who, right? But another learning lesson here, people, Nye, slow down. Don't always be anxious to get the scoop when there's no scoop to be got. Sometimes I react as a fan, right? And I've had people ask me when they question, like, oh, God, you've got to interview all these great people. How do you maintain your composure? How do you maintain your coolness around all these amazing A-listers? And my answer is always, I always remember that I'm there for a purpose and a goal, and my purpose is to work. I'm there to get my story. And listen, in Hollywood, you're as good as your name. You only go as far as your name allows you to go. Doesn't matter what you are, writer, director, even if you're A-list. You go as far as your last hit movie, your last project will take you. Behind the scenes, if you work below the line, as you say, below the line individuals are, you know, the crew, so to speak, journalists, so to speak. Above the line are your actors, your writers, your directors. But as a journalist, I don't want to build the reputation of being a gal, especially the black gal. And a lot of times when I'm at these big budget white, quote-unquote, white Hollywood productions, I'm very lucky and grateful that I'm invited to cover these things, and 9 times out of 10, I'm one of a handful of black journalists invited, right? So I don't want to build a reputation of being that groupie, that girl that's always starstruck. I remember one of my editors that I work for now, when I first started working for him, he would notice that at the end of events, I did my job. I was out the door. I'm gone. I got things to do. And he admired that. He said, I work with a lot of writers, and I've been in this business for 20 years. You are one of the few people that I've met who does not linger around after events like a groupie all up in these celebrity faces. No, that's not me. Again, I have a purpose, I have a goal, and once I get it, I'm done, I'm out. I don't want the reputation of being that asshole groupie journalist who acts more starstruck than a professional, right? Danny McBride laughed at me one time. Y'all know who Danny McBride is. I love Danny McBride. Let me tell you something. I only knew of Danny McBride because of that asshole character he played on that HBO show. Y'all know the one I'm talking about. I can't remember the name of it right now. It's no longer on the air, but if you're a Danny McBride fan, you know the one I'm talking about. The one before Principals, right? So about a year or so ago, I interviewed Danny McBride for Birds, I think it was, Angry Birds. And after the interview was over with, the cast of Angry Birds kind of, they walked out of the auditorium, as is the case with many of these ensemble events. When the cast is done entertaining and answering questions for the press, they're usually ushered to some space for a group photo. And the studio always has their photographers there. So the studio photographers get first dibs on positioning when it comes to that group photo. All others, meaning press people, get in where you fit in. Of course, Nye McGee with my little iPhone, or my little Nikon, okay? I'm not the professional cameraman, but I'm going to push my way to the front so I can get my shot. And that was the case at this Angry Birds event, where I was like Trump again and pushing my way to the front so I can get my shot of Danny McBride. And he saw me, literally, I'm down on my knees, people, crawling through parted legs, okay? Literally crawling on the ground, getting in where I fit in, sliding in where I fit in. Danny McBride saw all this, me navigating my way from the back, sliding and slip sliding and crawling across to the front. He thought that was the funniest thing, right? And then he just thought that was the funniest damn thing. And at the end, I walked up to him. I'm like, yeah, now can I get my one-on-one picture with you? Of course, he said, as he continued to laugh, right? Chances. Sometimes you got to take chances, right? Now, of course, you know, I say that because that was one of those moments that led to a bit of laughter. And it was one of those moments where it's like, Nye, did you have to crawl on the ground for that shot? Yes, I did, because let me tell you something. I get $50 per photo, bitches. So, yeah, I'm crawling on the ground to get my $50 photo. Every little bit counts. You know what I'm saying, Redbeard?
Trust
me. Right?
I know exactly what you mean.
Now, here's an example where Anthony Anderson taught me, never assume, always be prepared for anything, and once again, have a thick skin, okay? I've interviewed Anthony Anderson quite a few times. Now, you may have heard this story before if you know me personally. Bear with me. My last Anthony Anderson interview, I think, was about a year ago on the set of Black-ish. I was invited to interview Anthony Anderson, Lawrence Fishburne, and Diana Ross's daughter. What's her name? Y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm having brain farts right now. Tracee Ellis Ross. Thank you. So there I am with Anthony Anderson, and it's an on-camera interview, okay? So I prepare before the interview. I get my questions together. Now, I want to tell you that one of the questions, I always do my research before interviewing talent, okay? I find out what they've done in the past, how it relates to what they're doing now. And in doing my interview on Anthony Anderson prior to my session with him, he did an interview with someone about Black-ish, and the question the interviewer asked him was very compelling. I loved the question. So I decided to take that question, rewrite it in my own way, and throw it at Anthony. Now, mind you, there's the lawn service. Let me close the windows. Sorry about that. Just in case you heard the mower out there running, the lawn service is here because he certainly drowned me out. So anyway, there I am with Anthony Anderson. The question that I took from this article, right, that I rewrote, was from an interview he did about a year prior to my interview. So imagine my surprise when I sit down with Anthony Anderson – And I throw my question at him. And he didn't miss a beat. This fool looked it up at me like I just killed the messenger, honey. And he said, you didn't come up with that question. You took that question off the internet, and now you asking me the same question. And I said, wait, hold up. And he says that to me and his handlers and his managers and all the blackish people, not the cast, of course, but, you know, the behind-the-scenes folks, the managers, the handlers, the agents, you know, they're standing off to the side wide. They looked at me like, oh, the nerve, she did? They don't know what's next because Anthony has been, you know, y'all know he can get loud, right? An angry black man. So I think they were expecting that. But because Nye, see, they didn't know they were dealing with new Nye. See, the old Nye would have cowered down in her seat, started crying. Oh, Anthony, I'm so sorry. The jig is up. No. I was like, hold up, brother. You're right. I was doing my research on you. I saw this question from a year ago interview that you did. I thought the question was great, but I rewrote the question. Maybe the problem is you've been asked this question so many times, right, that you think we're all ripping each other off. So what if he was trying to defeat me or belittle me in that moment, your girl bounced back. Not only did she bounce back, but we completed that interview. He didn't give me no attitude. At the end of it, he was very grateful and very thankful, okay? But I did walk away from that learning a lesson. Like, you know what? Be a little sharper next time, Nye. He called you out on your shit, and he was right. While you didn't steal the interview question word for word, it was still too familiar for him. And I learned, don't throw familiar or common questions at these talents because they hate it. They hate the question about, how does it feel to be here tonight on the red carpet? What was it like working with your co-stars? They hate those basic-ass questions. Right. You know?
Right.
Always, I told you guys this on a show a couple weeks ago, that I have now built the reputation among my colleagues where they know, if they see Nye McGee, because they've, you know, openly said this to me, when they see Nye McGee, they know I'm coming with the tough questions. They know I'm coming with the good questions. They know I'm coming with the questions that are going to make talent look, give a bit of pause, maybe a little bit of side eye, but they're going to answer it because they've never been asked that before. And I've had from executive producers to actors to writers, directors, tell me, you've been the best interview I've ever had. That was a great, great question. Thank you for asking me that. Right? So my Hollywood hustle experience and breaking the ice and stepping outside of my comfort zone, I've learned to stop isolating myself, okay? Instead, what can you do if you feel this way, if you're plagued with social anxiety, shyness, you know? I have in the past, for various reasons, not to deal with social anxiety specifically, but for various reasons, I sought the comfort of a therapist. I found that it was very rewarding spiritually and mentally and physically. Of course, if you are opposed to seeing a therapist, a psychiatrist, or your, you know, primary care physician to help you with your social anxiety, meditation is always my go-to, people. If you're not into herbal refreshments, drugs, you know, pills to calm you or marijuana to calm you, meditation. I find meditation is very beneficial to help with extreme anxiety. You know, it's one of those things that can help you reconfigure yourself, reconfigure your concepts, reconfigure how you reflect on all the issues that plague you, okay? Meditation, I find, can help you direct your attention away from yourself, and focus it more toward either other people or whatever your goal is, okay?
Naturally, just relax, people.
Right, yeah, go ahead, Redbeard.
Just relax. I mean, when you find yourself in that environment, when you put yourself in that environment and you find that you're getting ready to have an anxiety attack or something of that nature where you can't approach people or talk, just relax. Just breathe first. First calm down. Gather yourself. Get your thoughts together. And then gradually work yourself into it. You can't, like you said earlier, Rome wasn't built in a day. Take your time with it. Don't rush into things. Do your research, but most importantly, relax and gather control of yourself before approaching anybody, because you don't want to walk up to somebody stumbling, fumbling over your words, introducing yourself, looking nervous. When you do approach somebody and you're in that environment, you want your confidence to reign. You want people to see you with confidence. When you walk in the room, you want that confidence to hit people. You don't want to sit back and look like the, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know the word I'm looking for, but you don't want to be that person that people say, they lacking something, and it's the confidence that they notice that you lack it. So just relax first. Relax, gather control of yourself, and then go.
Speaking of confidence, one of my favorite Doctor Who lines, spoken by David Tennant, Doctor Number 10, is just walk into the room. When you walk into a room, if you're nervous, you know, if you're plagued with social anxiety, the doctor's advice is just walk into the room like you own the place. And that's what I do, people. My life motto is don't dream it, be it. I took that from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's been my life motto since middle school, right? And then as an adult, it's walk into the room like you own the place. Let me tell you something, and I may have mentioned this on the show or, you know, on social media. I'm a huge fan, as you know, of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. I love everybody from those two shows, okay? The actor who plays Mike, Jonathan Banks is his real name. TCA, earlier this year, the Television Critics Association, I attended the event in January. You all, if you're following me on social media, you recall this. You know, how this event works is there are TCA members and then the regular press. I am not a member of the TCA organization, but as a member of the TCA organization, there are certain perks that you get that the press doesn't get, right? Really, it's a mesh of coming togetherness, but still, one of those perks is during panel discussions, once the panel event is over with, technically only TCA members are allowed to come on the stage after the panel event to talk to the cast one-on-one. While we all have badges, and everybody's badges clearly is distinct. Are you a TCA member or are you just a regular member of the press? It seems nobody really checks those badges but the security guards who work the main entrance doors. So once you're like fully ingrained, you know, into the event, nobody's really checking the badge. People are just checking to see that you have on a badge, that you're supposed to be there, but they're not really checking to see what group you belong to. So I take advantage of this. At the end of the panel discussions, if there's a talent on stage that I want to speak to that I didn't get a one-on-one with, then I initiate doctor mode, which is just walk up there like you own the fucking stage. And if somebody notices you and shuts you down, deal with it then. But right now, the window of opportunity is wide. So my Jonathan Banks, I'm looking up there like, wait a minute, I've talked to Bryan Cranston one-on-one. I've talked to Vince Gilligan. I've spoken to the lead guy who plays Saul. Forgive me, I can't even think of his name right now. But there's Mike, my favorite, Jonathan Banks, right there on stage, standing by his lonesome, you know. He was talking to one gal, and I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going up there. Whoever stops me, they stop me. Again, that's that aggression, people. That's taking control of your energy, taking control of your destiny. I walked up there, introduced, but as you said, as Redbeard just said, you got to be confident. So while I walked up there very confident in my introduction, once the reality hit that I'm, oh my God, I'm speaking to Jonathan Banks, who I love. I've been watching him on Breaking Bad for years. And then he shakes my hand. He kisses me on the cheek. He's the nicest guy. We talk about the show. We talk about his character. But once the reality sets that I'm talking to him, I get nervous. And I forget that he plays Mike. I start calling him Saul. Who does that?
He's probably tired of getting called Saul.
he's Mike. And once again, he played it off. You know, one of those things that about social anxiety is we often feel like people will be able to tell how nervous we are socially. And they may be able to tell. And I'm always nervous until the ice is broken, you know. And I'm always nervous in the presence of those that I've admired. And I love TV, and I have TV heroes. Let me give you my nervous Bryan Cranston story, okay? The same day that I met Jonathan Banks, hours prior to this, I'm sitting at a table talking to Bryan Cranston. Now, let me tell you people something. I'm a Breaking Bad fanatic. Heisenberg would be my white daddy if I could adopt him as my white daddy. You know what I'm saying? So there I am literally sitting at a table shoulder to shoulder with Bryan Cranston, and I'm in fucking awe. And he's the nicest guy, and we're doing our interview. Now, I was interviewing him for his Crackle series, Supermansion. So, of course, I've got to stay on topic. So I get all my Supermansion questions out of the way and save the best for last. And the best question is, will Heisenberg be making an appearance on Better Call Saul? So he answers the question, and, you know, if you missed that write-up, you know, if you don't follow me on social media and you missed that story, Bryan Cranston said he wants to, he's open to it, he's just waiting for Vince Gilligan to make it possible, right? But I'm sitting there talking to him, and I'm thinking Bryan Cranston, I'm thinking Heisenberg, the king of mess, right, on the West Coast, in Southwest America, Heisenberg, the meth king, right? Drug lords, drug dealers, real life. In my warped, jaded thinking, drug dealers from the east to the west, black, white, black, Latin to white, it don't matter. If you watch Breaking Bad, I imagine Heisenberg is a fucking hero. So in my nervous awe moment of sitting there with Bryan Cranston, the only thing that my dumb ass could look up to him to say after my professional interview was over with, I initiate fangirl mode, like an idiot, and I turn to him and say, you know, black guys love Heisenberg. He just kind of looks at me, and all the other white guys at the table kind of look at me like, that nervous smile. And, of course, being the professional that he is, and witty, and a comedian, got a great answer for that, instead of looking at me like, yeah, what are you trying to say, right? And I'm truly trying to imply that black guys are drug dealers, black guys are criminals, so therefore black
right.
guys love Heisenberg. What I was
right.
thinking, right? I wasn't, and again, this goes back to me being too overzealous, too aggressive, not maintaining focus, right? That statement was motivated from this point. Bear with me, people. I have a really dear friend named Edwin who lives on the East Coast. Edwin is a black guy. Edwin is pro-black. He's slightly militant. And he's not that he's very particular about his television shows. So years ago, I kept trying to get him to watch Breaking Bad. He wasn't with it because he's really not into TV like that. If it ain't sports, Redbeard, you the same way. I'm going to tie you into this too. I told Redbeard around the same time, y'all need to get into Breaking Bad. I feel like you'll like this story, not because it's about a drug dealer, but because it's great writing, it's compelling drama, and the narrative, I feel, resonates with people who are hustling, people who are looking for a come up, people who will do anything necessary to pay the bills, right? So I'm telling Redbeard and I'm telling Edwin, watch the show. Don't nobody want to watch the show. Finally, Edwin got tired of me on social media, always doing my Breaking Bad recaps, my Breaking Bad group conversations on Facebook. He decided he was going to watch the show one day. He hit me up after watching the first couple episodes, and he was like, Nye, why didn't you tell me this show was so goddamn good? This fool ended up liking the show so much, my black militant male friend, Edwin, ended up falling in love with Heisenberg so much so that he changed all his social media profiles to an image of Heisenberg. Redbeard, when I told Redbeard to get into the show, he finally got into the show. He loved the show so much, once he wrapped up all five seasons of watching the show, he started answering the phone as, hey, this is Heisenberg. Remember, Redbeard? Your Heisenberg moment?
I'm still living my Heisenberg moments. It's Money Change Redbeard Heisenberg. That's my whole name. My last name is still Heisenberg, okay? I have not gotten over my Breaking Bad. I'm actually mad that it's over. You know, when I binge watched the show, right?
Like, you binge watched it. You were so passionate about the show that you called me mad about some of the choices that Skyler made with the wife and Jesse, his partner.
Pinkman? Was it Pinkman? Oh, my God. If I was on the show, or if I had to work, because I work on sets, if I had to work that set and was watching it, me and Jesse would have been fighting. And the wife. What's her name? Skylar? Oh, my God. Yeah. When she gave away his money, woo, I was at the top. I was ready to blow.
So you agree. Breaking Bad, dynamic series, right?
Dynamic.
And that's where I was coming from. When I was sat there with Bryan Cranston, I was thinking about you and Edwin, two of my favorite black males in the world, whose opinion I respect, who I know that, you know, you're not about the fuddy-duddy. Hollywood's right. Got to come correct if they want you to tune in to The Offering. So I was thinking about how this white man, Heisenberg, played by Bryan Cranston, was so compelling that he's got militant pro-black guys who don't even watch TV co-signing, praising, and just saluting his work. I mean, people, the show was so damn good that Sir Anthony Hopkins personally wrote Bryan Cranston a love letter, not romantic, but just a love letter about Heisenberg, praising the show. I wish I didn't get an opportunity to explain to Cranston in that moment. Damn it. I didn't mean that black guys love the show because they're criminal-minded. I meant that your performance was so dynamic that it transcended, you know, it transcends the races. It transcends the genders. And in my nervous awe and my aggression, I couldn't properly articulate that. And another embarrassing moment that I have learned from. Hollywood Hustle Show. This is my hustle, people. Trying to maintain focus while being confident and channeling my nervousness to my goals instead of on myself. Because if I'm nervous, my hands start to shake, I start to sweat, my makeup is ruined. By the time I sit down, I'm underarms are sweating, I'm nervous, I might be musty. I'm having a goddamn anxiety attack before the interview starts. And so basically, folks, I have learned to get that under control, but in doing that, I've gone to extreme measures. Extreme, again, being aggressive, which Redbeard agrees, at times works. Now, it didn't work 2 weeks ago when I was trying to get my one-on-one photo with Oprah Winfrey. I was very aggressive in pursuing her, but her security guard shut me down. That's one time that it didn't work, but I tried, okay? Of course, my Oprah interview is up right now. If you go to my Facebook page, look me up. My handle is Writer Nye McGee. You can read my Oprah and Ava DuVernay interview about Queen Sugar. Of course, my other social media handles, Nye McGee is my Instagram, and Indie Art Swag is my Twitter. Of course, we're always looking for guests on my Wednesday show. If you have a book you want to – now, this is separate from Redbeard's Indie 15. Me personally, Nye Hollywood, if you want to be a guest on the Hollywood Hustle Show, if you have a book to promote, a movie, a song, right? Basically, I'm interested in interviewing creators whose hustle will help inspire others. If you have career advice, tips, or if you've been tuning in and you too have learned from your embarrassing moments, hit me up, 9McGee1 gmail.com. You can be a guest on the show. Or we're back on Friday, and every Wednesday and Friday at noon Pacific. You can call us up at 646-668-8342. We got about 3 minutes left in the show, people. Of course, nobody has claimed the May and the June DVD prize packs. Once again, if you would like to win the prize pack, the prize for May and the prize for June, the May giveaway is a DVD copy of Jamie Foxx's film. What is that movie called? Here we go, Sleepless. I also have a DVD of the first season of Insecure. Both of them are yours if you want them. Of course, if nobody claims these two prizes, they roll over to next month. And next month is going to be a gift card giveaway. I'm not sure yet, but it's going to be like a $20 gift card giveaway. Stay tuned. If you want these two prizes, the only way to get them, you got to go onto any one of my social media outlets, my Facebook, my Instagram, my Twitter. And all you got to do is say, I tuned in to the Hollywood Hustle Show, hashtag Hollywood Hustle, and you win the prize. That's it. I'll hit you up on the low, get your mailing info. With 2 minutes left in the show, Redbeard, any parting words?
Stay focused. Stay focused, people, on your drive. If you are really determined to succeed in what your dream is, that fear factor will not be able to hold you back. Stay focused, relax, and attack. All right? That's all you got to do. Just remember that. And stop saying no new friends, because you're going to need new friends in order to succeed. People need connections to succeed, okay? Drake was tweaking when he made that song. Now, if you're talking about new friends to kick it with and to bring into your personal life, that's totally different. But you're going to need some new people in your circle to make some things happen for you. And remember, to be a part of the Indie 15, email me whatever your material is, whatever your hustle is in the industry, at theindie15@gmail.com. Let's get it cracking, people. This is your boy Redbeard.
Now, what was that thing? Before, let's leave them up. Let's leave them with that phrase you said. You said your net worth. What is it? Is your net worth? What did you say?
Your net worth is as big as your network. So if your network is small, then your bank account must be small too. You got to expand your network in order to see your real net worth. All right? Remember that, people. Remember that.
That's right. Right on. Well, we leave you guys. Thank you for tuning in to this hour and a half show. We'll be back on Friday with the Tinseltown Review, the Tinseltown Tea. And, you know, we'll be tied up and turned up. So enjoy the rest of your hump day. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we will see you back here on Friday. Nye McGee, a.k.a. Nye Hollywood, with the Hollywood Hustle Show, signing out. Follow me on social media to stay up to date on what's going on in the sky. Got anything, Redbeard? That's it. You done?
You know I do. Follow me on social media, Redbeard438, at any social media platform. And always remember, stay focused. I want my $2.
Peace, people.
Break 'em. Last week, fucked around and got a triple-double. Freaking a good day. Drove to the pad and hit the showers. Didn't even get no static from the cowards. Cause just yesterday, them booze tried to blast me. Saw the police and they rolled right past me. No flexing, didn't even look in a nigga's direction as I ran the intersection. Went to show dog's house, they was watching you on TV rap. What's the hats on the crack? Shake em up, shake em up, shake em up, shake em. Roll em in a circle of niggas and watch me break em with the sevens. 7-Eleven, 7-Eleven, 7 even backed old little Joe. I picked up the cash flow, then we played those, and I'm yelling down.